Good morning. My name is Laura, and I have a confession to make. I am absolutely terrible with names. So if you've ever come to me and I'm thinking, I recognise your face, but I can't remember your name, I'm really, really sorry. But that also comes to celebrities. Some people just know celebrities. They know their name, where they're from, what movies they're in. No idea. I don't really follow it. Terrible with names. Doesn't really appeal to me. And I think, what's the point? But some people love it, and that's totally okay. But generally, as a society, we have this fascination for people in the spotlight, for public figures, for celebrities, and people like the royal family, kings and queens. We know them, and I do know the names of the royal family because they are out there. They're in the public. And any time there is a major event in the royal family, it's big deal. It's big news. People are out in the streets. We get broadcasts here in Australia of London where we see people lining, celebrating just to capture a glimpse of this family. Things like the royal weddings. Imagine being there that day when Harry and Meghan were married and you're lying in the street, or William and Kate, and you're out there and you saw the pictures, thousands upon thousands of people lying in the streets just wanting to be part of the celebration, wanting to capture a glimpse. Who are these people? Why are they so special? Kings and queens, the atmosphere, the buzz. Now, if I had the opportunity to be in London that day, I would have been there as well. It would have been really cool to be part of that, to witness it. Now, I don't particularly follow the royal family, but I would have made a choice to be there. So today is Palm Sunday. This is a celebration in the Christian calendar, the start of what we call the Holy Week. And this is the very first event in the lead up to Easter, to the death and resurrection of Jesus. But Palm Sunday was a celebration. The buzz, the atmosphere in Jerusalem that day, which we're going to look at, you'll see is kind of what I imagine, like we see today, the royal family. Palm Sunday is recorded in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. But today, as we're studying and looking, going through the book of Matthew, we're going to look at it through his eyes, through Matthew's eyes. So let's read. It's going to be a bigger chunk of scripture today, but we're going to read the whole account of Palm Sunday. Matthew 21. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. What a day. Imagine being in Jerusalem that day. The buzz of the city, the atmosphere, the cheers. This is Jesus coming into the city. It's like I said before, that royal procession. Just imagine being there in that moment, witnessing Jesus. Words spreading on the streets, people saying, what's happening? I'm going to come out and have a look. Palm branches being waved around, garments being laid down, celebrating a man on a donkey coming into Jerusalem. Matthew 21:10, the entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. Then hearing the people shout, praise to the Son of David. Praise God. Hosanna. Wow. This is amazing. Now it's interesting they're saying, who is this? Because people knew who Jesus was. He wasn't unknown. He had a reputation. They knew him as teacher. He had taught in towns around Jerusalem. He'd taught in Jerusalem. He'd healed. He'd done miracles. He'd been around for about 3 years now. So this is not brand new information, but they're saying, who is this? He is the son of David. The question is, did they really understand what this title, Son of David, meant that day? They were chanting and yelling it, but did they truly believe that he was the Son of David and all of that, what that encompassed? Because this is the start. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem to suffer, to die. Did they understand his plan and what he was doing? Because I actually don't believe the people that day did understand who exactly Jesus was and what he was doing. But there are things in the story that help us understand the events and what was going on that day, why there were palm branches, why there were robes, why they were shouting. So we're going to look at those, what we're calling props, in this story, because it really is helpful in explaining Palm Sunday and understanding people's motivations. The garments, the shouts, the palm fronds, the donkey. So we're going to start by looking at the garments and the robes in this story. So we know Jesus asked his disciples, two of them, to go out and find this donkey. This is a miraculous kind of event. Go to this town and there's going to be a donkey there. So they went and there was. They start untying it, and miraculously the owner or the people around said, sure, the master needs it, go and take it. That's quite an unusual event. If I had a donkey, I wouldn't let anyone take it. God was clearly in this. So it says in verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments on the colt, and he sat on it. This action of the disciples laying their garments on this donkey, on this colt, were done because the disciples were recognizing that Jesus was someone important. This was them recognizing that Jesus was a king to be celebrated. But interestingly, I don't think the disciples really understood the king Jesus was. They had this perceived idea of the king he should be. The disciples, because previously in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus explains to the disciples, I'm going into Jerusalem. I am going to suffer and die. And yet when that actually happens, the disciples lose hope. What good is a dead king? He can't reign and rule, so they scatter. They're nowhere to be found. They didn't understand he was going to be resurrected. So their idea of who Jesus is and what they were putting their garments down for was quite different to what Jesus actually is. So the disciples have done their garments. But as Jesus is coming into town in this celebration, people are laying down their garments. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. People laying down their garments for Jesus. Imagine that, laying down your garment on a dirty road for an animal to tread on. They probably didn't have too many garments. This was a genuine act, a symbolic act of recognizing someone in power, someone in authority. Laying down garments, even for the people that day, was a recognition of kinship and power. Now, and that goes right back to the Old Testament. The Israelites understood this. For example, there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 9 where a man is raised to become a king, and his followers, his people surrounding him, his men, laid down their garments for him, a sign of power and authority. It went right back. The robes, the shouts, the people saying Hosanna were all expectations that Jesus was going to be a warrior king. A king like they'd always known in the history of Israel. A king that was going to raise up Israel, conquer the enemy, and bring Israel to its former glory. They wanted an uprising. They wanted a warrior king. And they're putting down their garments for this purpose. Matthew 21, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. This is the day. Jesus is going to save them. This verse in Matthew comes straight out of an Old Testament book, the prophecy of Zechariah, where Zechariah says in chapter 9, verse 9, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. yet he's humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Jesus, the righteous, victorious one. What was he going to save him from? Now the people had this expectation. They're thinking back to this prophecy saying, this is it. This is the one. Look, he's doing it. It's happening exactly as Zechariah foretold. He's going to save us from oppression. He's going to restore Israel to its glory. The temple will be restored. All will be well. Jesus, the warrior king. Now we know the end of this story because we have it written down. But remember, for the people here on the streets that day, this was just unfolding. They've got all of this in their mind of what a king should look like, what kings of the Old Testament, what kings in Israel's history were supposed to do. Here is Jesus. He is the Son of God, Son of David, and he's here for a greater purpose. But what were the expectations of the people? They were different. He was going to rescue people from oppression. He was going to conquer that. But it wasn't at all in the way they hoped and were expecting. It was a bigger plan, a better plan. So we see alongside people laying down their garments, people were raising those palm branches, palm fronds. So in the account of Matthew, this is the first time I ever actually realized it. Matthew doesn't specifically say palm branches. He says most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. So there's no mention of palm branches, palm trees. Where do we get this idea of Palm Sunday? And if you look at the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, same thing. No palm branches, doesn't specifically say what they were. But in the Gospel of John states palm branches. It says in John 12:13, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. So the people there that day, what they were grabbing, what they were waving around wasn't just an accident. Palm branches were, like I said, very significant in the history of Israel. But not only to Israel, it was significant to surrounding nations. They were used by God to signify paradise, refuge, hope, authority, and victory. So let's have a look at some of those symbols. Each year, God asked the Israelites to celebrate certain festivals, and they represented things that God had done as he led them out of slavery from Egypt when they were in the 40 years of wilderness coming into the promised land. So these were times of celebration to remember God's provision, his miracles, and his leading and guiding. So one of these festivals is called the Festival of Shelters, or the Jewish name for it, which I'll probably pronounce wrong, is Sukkot, the Festival of Booths. So in this festival, the Israelites would gather together palm branches, palm fronds, and with a few wood beams would make these temporary shelters. And they, for 7 days, would be kind of in and out of these temporary shelters, cooking food, maybe living in there, to remember and rejoice that Jesus or God provided for them in the desert. They represented the tents that they lived in for those 40 years. Each year, palm fronds were gathered, a symbol of refuge, a symbol of shelter. And then in the book of 1 Kings, we see King Solomon, who built that very first temple of God. He decorated the walls with palm trees. It says in 1 Kings 6:9, on the walls all around the temple, in both the inner and outer rooms, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. Ezekiel, the prophet, had a really detailed vision of the temple of God, and it says, all the walls were decorated with carvings of cherubim, each with two faces, and there was a carving of a palm tree between each of the cherubim. Palm branches, a symbol of victory, triumph, refuge, shelter, eternal life. Palm branches were linked to the temple. And the temple, as we know, was a lifeline to the people in their relationship with God. Because it was where, when they went to the temple, they were able to offer sacrifices to restore their broken relationship with God, to renew their relationship with God, to come back to God. Jesus is the answer to our broken relationship with God. His body broken a few days later, his blood poured out on the cross, is triumph, is victory, is shelter, is refuge, is eternal life. Jesus is foretelling what is to come. Now you can kind of see, if you put yourself in the people's shoes that day, if you're a Jew in Jerusalem, why you would want Jesus to become the warrior king. They were under oppression of the Roman Empire. And they thought that Jesus was going to come and restore the temple so they could freely come and bring their sacrifices to restore their broken relationship with him. But Jesus is going to say to them, look, it's not about the building. My body, the temple will be broken. My blood will be poured out. My blood, the sacrifice for your sins. I will be the ultimate sacrifice. You don't need a building anymore. This is about me. This is about what I'm going to do. But the thing I love also about Jesus' death and resurrection, this isn't just for the Israelites. Jesus was showing us and told us this is for all of mankind. Every single person in the past and in the present and in the future. So we know Jesus was immersed in the Jewish culture. He grew up in that. He worked within that culture. But these events spoke to people outside of Israel that day. Palm fronds, palm branches were really significant in that ancient world. If we look at the Near Eastern Mediterranean world, palm branches were used for winners of athletic contests. They were used for generals and kings who would be welcomed back into the city who were victorious. And we also, if we look at Greek and Roman mythology, palm branches are a symbol of resurrection. If you've ever heard in Greek and Roman mythology the mythological phoenix, this phoenix would kind of nest in a date palm. Fire would consume it and this phoenix would be reborn. Christ can be likened to the phoenix. Christ is the resurrection. So to those outside of Israel, Christ was kind of saying, you have this mythological creature, but I am the real deal. You have this creature that rises to life, but look at what I'm about to do. I'm not mythical. I am real. And what I'm about to do is for you as well. Jesus was speaking to the world. Even those nations looking on that day or hearing about the events that day, or maybe if they were in Jerusalem that day, these palm branches had significance to them as well. Because no ordinary man gets palm branches waved around. This is specifically set aside for a king, someone important, a warrior, someone who is going to be known for what they do. And Jesus is about to show us, without a doubt, that he is the Son of God. So the garments, the shouts, the palm branches, these were the things that people were using to usher Jesus in. Exciting kind of procession, amazing atmosphere. Jesus was going to rescue the Israelites. But what was the thing that Jesus used? If we look at the story, you know that the prop that Jesus used that day was the donkey. So why did he ride in on a donkey? Why didn't he walk in? Why didn't he choose something like a camel or a horse? Something a little bit grander, a little bit taller. Maybe people could have seen him better on a camel. We know they're high. Something a little smarter, a little loftier. Because if you're a commanding leader, you're not going to come into the city you're about to conquer on a donkey. You're going to come in on something like a majestic horse and you're going to be dressed up for the occasion. But Jesus chose a donkey. A simple animal known for its stubbornness. Now, this always, just a side note, whenever I think of this donkey, I think of the donkey out of Shrek, if you've ever seen Shrek. But that's just a side note. That's just in my head when I think about Jesus' donkey. But back to first century Jerusalem. So even though Jesus is victorious, he's our refuge, our hope, our shelter, our eternal life, our peace, our paradise, Jesus was making a statement that day. Because servants rode donkeys, not kings. Jesus was saying in what he was doing that day, I am coming to you as a servant king. The crowds were saying, I want a warrior king. But Jesus is saying, look, I'm a servant king. Jesus did come to defeat an enemy, but the one he had in mind was greater than the Roman Empire. He came to defeat the enemy of sin and death. and the devil that has trapped everybody since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve. He said, I'm here to give my life up for you. I am the servant king, and it's not going to be the end. I will rise again. The crowds wanted a warrior king so they could win. Jesus, the servant king, came to die for us. A king serves the purposes of the people, but Jesus, the servant king, calls us to walk alongside him in his victory, with him. So why is Palm Sunday so important? I think if we look at all these props and the motivations of people, it actually forces us to look at our preconceived ideas about who Jesus is. Am I trying to make Jesus something that he is not? Because that's what the people that day were trying to do. They had ideas of who Jesus would be, this warrior king, but that's not who Jesus was, and that's not what his plan was. They're shouting, Hosanna, son of David, that week, but a week later, a few days later, we see them crying out for his crucifixion. What a change. Now, if we are really real with ourselves, if we had been there that day, those palm branches, we'd been out on the streets, I would have probably viewed Jesus in the same way that people did that day. I would have wanted someone to save me from the oppression of the Roman Empire. I see myself in the crowd, making Jesus who I want him to be, rather than allowing him to define himself. Because we want Jesus to do certain things in our life. We don't like it when we face oppression. We don't like it when we face suffering. We don't want to experience it. We want it to go away. We plead with God. And I think pleading with God is a natural response. And God asks us to come to him with the things that are difficult in our life. But we get angry at God. We get disappointed at God because surely God is going to rescue us. It all makes logical sense. God needs to do this in order for me to be okay. This is the perfect way. We have this mindset of what God should do and how God should do it, and we get disappointed when he doesn't. Is God going to do it our way? Or is he going to do it his way? Is what you're asking of Jesus who he actually is, or do you have this preconceived idea of what he should be like? Because we know that Jesus isn't a genie that we can command around and get our wishes granted. We know that God is a loving God. He loves us. He created us. He loves us beyond our wildest dreams, and he knows our deepest needs within our heart. He wants us to come to him and know him for who he is and allow him to guide us. Because we can miss what God is doing because we get so wrapped up in who we expect Jesus to be. We miss what God is actually doing. God is for us. Walk alongside him. But are we making him something that he is not? He is absolutely worthy of us putting our garments down for him. He's worthy of palm branches being waved around because he is the Son of God. He showed us in these events in the lead up to Easter. He is the King. He showed us his authority, his power, his eternal life. He is our refuge, our hope, our peace. He is our paradise. All of the symbols that were represented on this Palm Sunday, Jesus is all of those things. But as you go away from this week, as you think about the amazing celebrations of Palm Sunday, don't go away during the week and kind of lose that enthusiasm. Lose that enthusiasm to praise and honor him. Keep going. He's worthy. In the Gospel of Mark, after the procession through the city, Mark says this in verse 11:11. It says, so Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around at everything carefully, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. That kind of takes a really unexpected turn. This procession with thousands of people, or however many people, were in the city, and all of a sudden we see Jesus just looking around the temple and he leaves. It's a quiet ending because Jesus wasn't buying into the crowd's desire for a loud warrior king. He was preparing to be a servant king. He was preparing for the ultimate battle. But it seems like an anticlimax, where we know this is just the start. So this week in the lead up to Easter, as you remember Jesus' death, as you're celebrating him, as you're celebrating him as your Lord and Saviour, remember this is not the end. We can worship him. He is our refuge, our shelter, our hope, our peace, our eternal life, our protector. But ask yourself the question, are we making Jesus into something that he is not? And if we are, how can we change that? I encourage you to go back and read through the Gospel of Matthew like we've been doing. Read who Jesus is through the Gospels, what he did, how he lived his life, his nature and character. Draw close to him. He is our servant king, and this is an exciting week. So let me pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you showed us through that prop of riding in on a donkey, that you are the servant king. You are humble. That even though we want things in our life that seem so logical, so important, that you have a greater, a higher purpose. Lord, we want a rescuer, but you know we need a savior. Lord, I pray that as we come up to Easter this week, that we will just know that you are our king, our savior, that we are forgiven, that you died on the cross willingly for us, that you are the ultimate sacrifice. You paid the price. We are free in you, Jesus, that you restored our broken relationship with you. And I pray that this week we can symbolically raise those palm branches in our life and praise and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.